Take your Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verse number 4. It's a very important verse in the Bible, as all verses are. And really, as I looked at the verse, it seemed like the Lord wanted me to slow down a little bit here. We're not just trying to get through the verses. We're trying to get the verses through us. And I want to slow down here, and I want to preach a little bit, probably for the next several weeks, about fake Christianity. Fake Christianity. That's what the theme of the verse is about. And evidently it was a problem, not just in our day, but a problem in the early church. And it looks like that a Corinthian church is susceptible to this fake form of Christianity, or there would not have been such a warning concerning it. And with the day of the carnal church today, as much the Corinth was, I think probably we're in much need of messages such as these. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." This warning about fake Christianity comes on the heels of verse 3. In verse 3, we had a warning how the devil is, Satan is somebody that tries to deceive you. He tries to trick you. And the Bible said in verse number 3 of chapter 11, "But I fear lest by any means has the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So Satan tricked Eve, the devil tricked Eve into thinking that the life that God gave her was not a good enough life. He had another life for her. But you see, that life was a false life. It was fake. It wasn't real. It wasn't lasting. It was very fleeting. Going to cause her much pain, but the way he painted the picture was, "Oh, you don't want what God's got. Get something else for your life." And so you know the story. She took of the tree. But the devil is always giving fake things out, false things out, always. And people don't understand. You know, I had a friend years and years and years ago that was in the banking system, and my friend began to tell me, I said, "Man," and we had and maybe it goes on all the time, but I wasn't aware of it, but where we lived, they had been passing out, or passing off fake bills. False currency, counterfeit bills. And, some of the establishments, some of the business had been receiving it, and they didn't know they were fake. And the Secret Service, the government's all involved. They want to find out where is the source from all this fake money. And I guess maybe they got a machine and printed off their money. And you can make all that money look just as good as you want to look, but it's fake. It's not real. And though some took it and some were, and they lost out when they took that $100 bill. They thought it was $100 bill. It wasn't $100 bill. And it wasn't the giver that got in trouble. It was the receiver. Because now the goods that they had given for the $100, they lost that money. That money was not going to be in their account because it was false. It was fake. And I asked this friend of mine, I said, "How in the world can you tell? I mean, we know if somebody got in their house and they were using their printer to print off money, we could figure that out. But I mean, their places are very elaborate to get down to the very type of paper that our currency's printed on, and millions of dollars worth of machinery. You can imagine you could afford to spend a whole lot of money to have this elaborate setup if you could just run off $100 bills like you could run off paper." And so they had it very elaborate. And I said, "How can you tell? I mean, it looks real. I mean, I can't tell the difference." And of course, now in our currency, you can hold it up to the light. You can hold it up to the light, and there's a little thread running through there, right? You know why most people don't understand what's fake? They don't ever hold it up to the light. That book tells us that the light of this Word of God, and Jesus is the light. If you'll hold it up to the light, you'll be able to see what's fake, and you'll be able to see what's counterfeit. But she said, not just that. She said, I don't even have to hold it up to the light. I said, why is that? She said, well, I can't really explain it to you. She said, all I can tell you is that the real thing has gone through my hands so many times. Now, this is what a banker told me. She said, I don't have to hold every bill. I thought, man, that'd be time consuming. I mean, you're at a bank, you're taking all this money in. You're going to hold up every bill and look at every bill. He said, no, I just run it through my fingers and I can spot that's a fake. Because the best way to spot a counterfeit is to know the real thing very well. Now, you know why we have a world and a society that's given the deception of fake Christianity and fake religion? It's because they've never been acquainted enough with what's real. You know who the biggest prey is for the cults? Baptists who don't know the real thing. Check it out. It really is. They have filled those false religions. Because they had such a casual relationship with God and such a casual relationship with the Bible that it wasn't real to them. And so when something fake came along, they were not able to recognize it. Satan always has a counterfeit. Think about it. He counterfeits love. Thank God for the love that He puts between a husband and a wife and the intimacy and the preciousness of that. But the devil counterfeits that. And he'll offer immoral relationships saying that that's the way to go. But that's a counterfeit. It's not real. It's not lasting. The devil will do that as far as satisfaction goes. You know, the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. So what the devil will do, he'll satisfy you for a little while with some sin or some habit or something you're involved in to bring you temporary satisfaction. But it's fake. It's not real. It will not last.
Right.
It's a counterfeit. You can not only see that in love and in satisfaction, but think about this, how the devil counterfeits peace. Do you know you can have a fake peace? All you have to do, in our society right now, and I guess if you keep up with things, you understand this already. Our society is swallowed up right now with the big trend of marijuana, of pot. That's a big thing. I mean, it's being legalized, people smoking. It ain't even a problem anymore. I mean, it's just part of life. And so all the pot smokers, do you know what that is? That's a fake peace. Oh, I want to get high. Well, you know, that's not real. You know why? Because then you're going to come down. And then you're going to have another hit. Then you're going to have to buy some more. And what it would be, it's all in our society. It's just another gateway into something else. Because one of these days, that'll run out. And I'm not getting enough peace from my joint. So I might have to get it from somewhere else. Something a little harder. And the devil always gives a counterfeit. He gives counterfeit joy and counterfeit happiness. Have a good time. Party it up with the wicked crowd. But that fleeting excitement is just an atmosphere that's fake. It's fake. Now you'd think if anybody in our world would know something and understand what's fake, it would be our people today. Everything's fake. We live in a total fake world. Everything's fake. I mean, this is fake. Right? Ain't got no smell at all. It don't ever die. It's not alive. It's colorful. But it's not real. You know what? You always know if you go to a nice restaurant, they got real flowers on the table. I used to take my wife to a restaurant in Charleston when we lived down that area, and they put roses on all the tables. They had to do that every day. They had to work at that. But something's fake, I just leave it there. I'm starting to get convicted right now about the fake flower. Lord help me. You know why it's fake? Because it's easier. You know why it's fake? It's cheaper. I tell you what, I don't want a cheaper Christianity. I don't want an easier Christian. I want the real thing. Think about our fake well. They got fake grass. I mean, some people get tired of mowing the grass. They just put AstroTurf down, you know. I mean, just put it all down. You don't ever have to mow it. It looks green. Somebody said, you know, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, but it's AstroTurf. It's not real. You can make it look real, but that doesn't mean it's real. You know, they got fake dirt. I mean, you know, how many, you know, this is the season, this is the springtime season. We put mulch around stuff, you know. You know, they got fake dirt. Fake mulch. It's rubber. I mean, it's been sprayed. It looks that way. And you put it down. I probably got some around my second house. But I'm just telling you, we're in a fake world. Things just aren't real anymore. And people are content to have it that way. Fake crisis. You know, our world is bent on making sure there's always a crisis for you. Even if it's not real. To keep you in fear and to keep you in a state where you're not trusting the Lord. A fake world we live in. I mean, look at people with fake body parts. I've said this before. I'll never get tired of saying this. Because I want people to understand what a fake world you live in. And we have multitudes of people right now that are in fake churches. And I know that because God's talking to us in verse 4 about fake Jesuses and fake gospels and fake spirits. They're not real. And people are loving to have it so. I mean, you got fake eyelashes. Fake eyebrows and fake nails and fake teeth. I mean, bless your heart, if you had to have them, praise the Lord. I'm not preaching against, I'm just saying, fake skin. I mean, some people's skin, I mean, they've blown enough Botox in their skin to blow up a blowfish. And it's just as fake as it can be. I mean, would somebody step back and say, I want something real. I don't want the fake hair. I mean, how do you even know who you're going to marry? But on the wedding night, they take all the fake stuff off. Who are you? Fake. You know, guys, I am not over-exaggerating. You know, there are people that are having fake body parts. Our government is paying for surgeries for fake body parts. Fake. Fake genders. You are who God made you, and if you try to be anything else, you are a fake. You are a phony. You're not real. I don't care how long your hair is. I don't care how many surgeries a person has. You can't change what God did when He made you unless you're just going to be a fake. But our world likes fake, don't they? Fake friends. Fake friends. You know what? Excuse me. You do not have 685 friends. You don't have that many friends. That's fake. It's not real. Just because somebody clicked it, that don't mean they're your friend. Fake. People live in fake lives. People are living imaginary lives. You know, we used to say people that had imaginary friends, we used to say those were, you know, the little kids. They'd say, you know, I've been talking to Jason. Who's Jason? Oh, it's my friend. Where? In my room. Where? Well, today you probably have to step back and say, okay, if you think Jason is there, then Jason is there. Because we live in a world that just accepts fake. Fake relationships. Fake images. You know, people want to take themselves. Guys, this is the curse of our culture. People put on social media this life, and that is not them. That is a picture they took. That's not their life. That's the life they want to portray. And like I told you the other day about the lady in the parking lot that was just, and then I see, and the smile was fake. Everything about it was the people's fake relationships. All these people on these chat rooms and they're chatting with people and they don't even know who they're chatting with. And some of these places are just the devil's pits to grab children.
Right.
And they think they're chatting with a 15-year-old and they're chatting with a 45-year-old. You know why? Because they're fakes. It's like these immoral people. These immoral people that chat and get on these phone or these chats with these people and all these illicit things they're talking. And I've said it before, all, and it's usually men that's doing this, and they're on these chat rooms, and they think that's on the other side of the chat room is this beautiful woman, you know. And society has told us that what's on the other side of that chat room is not a beautiful woman, it's another man. That's acting like he's a woman to fulfill your fantasies. What a fake world. Fake world. And people love to have it so. Fake relationships and fake religion. Fake spirituality. You know, I hate fakes. I'm going to grab a mic over here and I even hate when people sing and it's fake. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, all these people, they get on these award shows and they'll get up to sing and they're moving their mouth, but they're not even singing. There's a recording playing. It's not even a real performance. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's fake. You know, there's some people that get up and sing, even sing in a church, and it's just as fake as a $4 bill. And I'm not talking about the words. I'm not talking about the voice. I'm talking about the heart. They fake spirituality. Look, all you have to do is have grown up in a culture that had soap operas, and you know how people can fake their emotions. You can fake your emotions for people. You can fake your emotions for God. Don't be a fake. That's the devil's counterfeit. There's something real. There's real excitement in God. There's real emotion in God. There's real satisfaction in God. There can be real praise and worship to God. Just because others are fake doesn't mean you have to fall for the fake Christianity. And then there's the fake spirituality. You know, let everybody think I'm spiritual. Because my life is a certain way as it appears to be. But when I'm at home, I don't walk with God. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? It is the curse to a Corinthian church. In verse 4, let's look at it. I'm trying to get in the message as quickly as I can. He said in verse number 4, "For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." So you've got, and I'll get into these as the weeks go by. You've got another Jesus. You have in the same verse 4, another spirit. You have in the same verse 4, another gospel. Then you drop down to verse 13 and he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." So here's what you have. You have another Jesus, you have another spirit, you have another gospel, and then you have another minister. You have ministers that portray themselves to be ministers of Christ, but they are not. The first one I take is another Jesus. You say, "Preacher, how could we go wrong Jesus?" I mean, Jesus' name is almost 1,000 times in the New Testament. Yeah, but there's another Jesus out there. Aren't you glad you know who the real Jesus is? I hope you do. This Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." The angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The book says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no other name like that. And yet the world and the devil has taken the Jesus of the Bible and the name of Jesus and twisted it into things that are fake. You've got to understand that just because the name of Jesus is used does not mean it's something real. Did you hear what I said? Just because the name of Jesus is used does not mean that the thing is real and genuine. He says there's another Jesus. Let me give you about 9 real quickly. There's the Mormon Jesus. The Mormon Jesus is another Jesus. Now, this has got to be true or it wouldn't be in the Bible. If there is another Jesus that is not the true Jesus, then there's a fake Jesus. Well, who is the fake Jesus? Let's identify him so we'll never be deceived. You say, are you just throwing off all Mormons? No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. The Mormon Jesus is another. You say, how do you know that? Because his brother is Lucifer. The Mormon Jesus' brother is Satan. Well, my friend, you know, I can tell you a lot of things about Jesus Christ, but he ain't related to the devil. They did not come from the same stream. The Mormon Jesus, his brother is Satan. And not only that, the Mormon Jesus has many wives. What a perverted thing to do to our Savior, the Son of God. I don't even want to think in that regard. And by the way, the world's taking that other Jesus. You say, well, that's just Mormon. No, it's not just Mormon. Have you heard of the movie, The Da Vinci Code? Which was just, I mean, it went like lightning. People, I mean, people love to see it and they watch it. Oh, what a great movie. That's a blasphemous movie. It presents another Jesus, a Jesus who had a child by Mary Magdalene. What blasphemy. That's not my Savior. That's not my God. That's not the Bible Jesus. That's a fake Jesus. That's a Jesus somebody invented. How about the Jehovah Witness Jesus? Look, that's not your Jesus. Because you've got to understand these things. When they come by your house and they knock on your door and they say, I want to talk to you about Jesus, you've got to stop and say, well, look, what Jesus are you talking about? And all you have to do is go to John chapter 1 and you can understand that their Jesus is another Jesus. John 1:1, and we preached through that whole book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you got a Jehovah's Witness Bible, it puts one little letter in there. Guys, you can say what you want. I'm telling you, you better hold fast to that King James Bible the day you die. You say, well, it's not a big deal. One word, one letter can determine somebody's eternity. What letter? The Jehovah's Witness Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. With a little G. Oh, my Jesus, not a little G God, brother. He's a capital G God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No, sir, I'm sorry, Mr. Jehovah, false witness. Your Jesus is not my Jesus. It is not the Jesus of the Bible. He was not a created little G God. The Bible says that God created all things by Jesus Christ. What other Jesus? How about the Muslim Jesus? Because you understand the Muslims talk about Jesus. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Their Jesus is a Jesus that was not God either, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. He was an individual that never died and never rose from the dead. He was just a prophet, they say, that was a precursor to Muhammad. Muhammad was the big P prophet. And Jesus was his forerunner. And I tell you this morning, Jesus doesn't take a back seat to anybody. Amen. At his name, they're all going to bow, including Muhammad. And testify that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. No, sir, the Muslim Jesus is another Jesus. How about the Rastafarian black Jesus? Did you know you had this many Jesuses? Oh, didn't know Jesus was a black man? No, he wasn't a black man. And he wasn't a white man either. He was a Jew. He was an olive man. He was from Shem. He wasn't from Japheth, nor was he from Ham. But you know what people want to do? They want to make their own Jesus to fit their own agenda. And the Rastafarians said this, you know, that Jesus came through that line in Ethiopia there, and they even said Haile Selassie, which was the emperor of Ethiopia. Haven't you ever heard of Haile Selassie? I'm trying to give you an education here this morning about another. You know what? Some of you, if you witness to a, y'all know who Rastafarians are? You know, got the dreadlocks and all that. The dreadlocks, you know what dreadlocks are? There are people, most of them live in Jamaica or down the Caribbean. You ask, talk to Brother Gibson about them. You go up to a Rastafarian and you start talking about Jesus, they'll say, oh, Jesus, sure. But it's another Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's a Jesus that came through Ethiopia. They think Haile Selassie, that emperor there in Ethiopia, was the second coming of the Messiah. They think he's deity. Pretty fine deity to die in 1970s. I don't want a God that dies in 1970. No, I've got a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus that they're talking about. And by the way, we'll give equal time. Jesus is not the Catholic Italian Jesus. Jesus is not an Italian. It doesn't matter what Rembrandt or Da Vinci painted. You say, why are you talking about the Catholic Jesus? Because the Catholic Jesus is somebody that you've got to pray to Mary to get to him. That's not the way to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you know what that guy thinks that's sitting in Rome? He thinks he's the vicar of Christ. He thinks he's Christ incarnate on there on the throne. No, sir, that's a different Jesus. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Then there is the social, gospel, philosophical, humanitarian Jesus. That's the Jesus that Oprah likes and most of the world likes. I don't know why I throw her name in. She's just popular, so. That's the Jesus that the world likes to talk about of all the good, nice things he said in the Bible that will just help us get through our problems. He's the humanitarian that's going to bring peace to the world. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. If you knew the Jesus of the Bible, Jesus said in the Bible, I'm not come to send peace on the earth. That's not why he came. He's not come to get rid of all problems and all poverty and all racial issues. He's not come just to make us better people. It's not that type of philosophy. And by the way, that Jesus there, you know what that Jesus is? The people talk about that Jesus, they don't believe he did one miracle. They don't believe in the miracles of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ didn't do miracles, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then he's a liar and he's a deceiver. You can't take one little part of doing to others. That's all they know about that Jesus. No, Jesus is much more than somebody that's trying to help man. He's trying to save man from his sin. He's going to change his life and redeem him and pay for the price for his iniquity. He's the one that tells the truth. These people talk about Jesus. The average politician, he doesn't believe in Jesus any more than a Muslim or a Mormon or anybody else. Not the Jesus of the Bible. You know why? They don't believe what he said. The only way we know about who Jesus is, we've got to look in the book and see what he said. You've got to hold it up to the light. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. The liberals have their little hippie Jesus. Sorry. Jesus is not some effeminate individual that ran around with flower children and drugs and Woodstock concerts. That's not Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. By the way, you know they have a homosexual Jesus. They have a homosexual Jesus. Because you have got to plant your feet and understand that the devil has a fate for everything that's godly and everything that's true. And you know what the devil's done to some people that had came out of good churches? Sat them down and twisted verses and in their perversion showed them something about Jesus Christ and made a picture of a Jesus that God never intended you to think about or have. He says there's another Jesus. You don't want him. You know why? He can't save you. He can't help you. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24:24, there's going to come false Christ. There's going to come fake Jesus. Would you take your Bible with me now to 2 John? 2 John. Now that's all the fakes. You say, well, how do I spot the real thing? 2 John, the Bible says in verse number 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You see that? So if your doctrine is not right about who Jesus Christ is, you don't have anything to do with God. He said in verse 9, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, that's who he is. The principles, the precepts, the truths about him. He hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Look at how important God says. Receive him not into your house. Are y'all reading what I'm reading? God says, if you see something fake, don't let it in your house. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. Don't even say God bless you to him. You know why? You don't want to encourage the fakers. We want to encourage the ones that have the right Jesus, the true doctrine. He said there in verse number 7 of the same book, just look up a few verses, for many, there it is, deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Oh, the spirit of antichrist is in the world today, and they'll attack the personage of Jesus, who he is. Well, who is he? What do we know about Christ in his doctrine? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Two great verses on that, and I'll just move quickly on. Colossians 2, and with your other hand, go ahead and get 1 Timothy chapter 3. These are bedrock verses. Every Christian ought to know these verses, or you will not be able to talk to anybody about all these fake Jesuses that are in the world. He said in Colossians chapter 2, in verse number 9, look at it. For in Him, that's in Jesus Christ, into verse 8, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you look at Jesus Christ, you look at God. That's what the Bible said when Jesus came. He said, he that's seen me hath seen the Father. Everything about God is in me. I'm the fullness of all the Godhead. Oh, what a verse. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's also changed in the other Bibles. Get rid of them. Get you a real Bible, amen. That's another day sermon. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Look at the next word, God. If your Bible doesn't say God, you need to throw it away. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the only verse of the Bible that says God came in the flesh. The proof of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God of very God. He's that part of that triune God. It's in three persons, but they are one. 1 John 5:7, that's also attacked in the other version. Three bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you cannot separate that one God. He's not only that. Look at Matthew chapter 1. I'll go through them real quickly because most of you know who Jesus is. But we preach this because it's in the Bible. You want to check it, you check it with these tests. He said in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He is the virgin born Son of God. He said in verse number 20. End of the verse. Fear not to take in thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was not his father. A Roman soldier was not his father. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. And God prepared a body in the womb of Mary. And she was a virgin. You say that's a miracle. Yeah, that's the Jesus of the Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'll give you a third thing. We've only got a couple left. Do you know the real Jesus? Can you tell a fake? Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's verse 14. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is sinless. Oh, what a Jesus in the Bible. He never thought anything impure. He never said anything impure. He never did anything that was impure. He did all those things that pleased the Father. There's not a spot. There's not a stain. There is not a mistake He made. Jesus Christ is without sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are. And man tries to make another Jesus that has the same problems that he has. But oh my friend, Jesus didn't have your sin nature. And Jesus didn't exercise sinful choices like we do. And that's what man looks at Jesus. Oh, he's sinless. Yeah, but you see, He passed into the heavens as the sinless Savior, and He's without sin, but He died for your sin, and He allowed you to approach Him. The Jesus of the Bible is not only sinless, but He is the only Savior. It's a famous verse. I'm glad it's a famous verse. John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way." There are not many ways to God. There's just one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christian people, you say, well, that's not a big deal. You tell your co-workers that the only way to heaven is the shed blood of Jesus Christ and see what they say. Do you mean people around the world? If you don't go the Jesus way, you don't go at all. And if you're here, listen, if you're here this morning, it doesn't matter who your mama is. It doesn't matter who your dad is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life or what you haven't done in your life. If you don't get to the Jesus of the Bible, you'll never get to God's heaven. He's the only Savior. He's the only way. You say, well, I'll try to figure it out. I'll go to enough churches. You'll never figure it out. Jesus said, I'm the only way. You can come to church this morning. That doesn't mean you came to Jesus. Boy, I'm glad for the day I came to Jesus. I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know you died for my sin. And that's the other thing about Jesus. Jesus Christ is that one that physically died. Don't believe that lie that he just swooned. He physically was buried and he physically rose from the dead. I think half the people that talked about Easter and resurrection and all that business didn't have a clue that Jesus Christ really got up from the dead. Right. Put him on the spot TV. Do you believe Jesus really died and rose from the dead? Say. I bet half the people in America don't believe that. Not really. They just think it's a good story. I don't like fake stories. They don't help me. And if Jesus didn't really die, and if he didn't really bear, and if he didn't really rise from the dead, I couldn't be saved, and neither could you, and none of us would ever get up from the grave. But yet, we have a real Jesus that did all that really. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. Oh, what power. They didn't take, you said the nails didn't kill Jesus, and the spear in his side didn't kill him, and the crown of thorns on his head didn't kill him, and Pilate didn't kill him, and the Jews didn't kill him, and the mob didn't kill him. He gave his life. He dismissed his spirit and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. None of us have that power. You don't have power to hold on your life, and you don't have power to give it like that with speaking. But oh, the real Jesus does. And that's the last thing I'm doing. He's the Jesus. He says we have him passed in the heavens there in Hebrews. And that book says he went up to heaven. He's really there right now. Right now he's really on the right hand of the Father. He's sat down. He's up there sitting down. Right now. You know, I believe some people, they don't believe Jesus is alive. The Jesus of the Bible is at the right hand of the Father. And he's sitting down. You see, what is he doing? He's waiting. What's he waiting for? Henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He's waiting for the Word. Ready, Father? He's ready for the Word. He's coming again. He's just waiting. He's sitting down. He's ready. But you know what? You say, well, that sounds lazy exercise for 2,000 years. Oh, no, my friend. While he's sitting there waiting to come back again, the book says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know what? Look, the Jesus of the Bible. Listen now. The Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of religion, but the Jesus of the Bible is looking at you right now. the Jesus of the Bible is listening for you right now. The Jesus of the Bible is at the third heaven, and His ears are opened, and His arms are opened. And this is what you've got to hear before. All that can be true, but if you do not believe that Jesus right now is really in heaven, He's really opened His arms to you. He's really opened His ears to you. He really wants you to come. Then you'll probably live your life in not only ignorance of Him, but with this fake Jesus. That's, yes, a Jesus on the page of a book, but He's not a Jesus for me. Yes, a Jesus that has a religion, and all of human history is tied to His birth, no matter how they try to change the dates. Amen. It's still 2021, brother. And you can put every name you want on it, and it ain't going to change the fact it's all centered on Jesus Christ. Oh, I know that. He's a historical figure. But is He a Jesus to you, really? Is He a Jesus that hears your prayer? Is He a Jesus that's concerned about your heart? Is He a Jesus that says, come unto me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Is He your Jesus? Or is He just another Jesus?